Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 249 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? It is the last day of the Family Feud Tour. It has been a blast out here. We're doing Cleveland. Had a lot of fun. Contestants were very funny. My fellow celebrities on the panel were just great. Joe Amable from Dancing with the Stars and Bachelor in Paradise, and Kathy Rigby, the gymnast, the Peter Pan, and Brian Dunkelman, who was one of the original hosts of American Idol. So, yeah, we've had a great time. This is the longest, maybe, and I'm not sure, but this might be the longest I've gone in my career without doing stand-up. I haven't been on stage in 2.5 weeks. When I was a judge for Last Comic, there was another time when we went a long stretch where I couldn't get on stage. But anyway, it's all good. It's all good. I'm back. Back to work tomorrow night. It's Friday the 14th, so tomorrow I'm back at the Laugh Factory. To see America like this was actually pretty cool. Downtown Durham, North Carolina, baby Brooklyn. It was all hipster and really cool. Knoxville, Tennessee. I liked Knoxville. Knoxville looked like the small town that big city outdoor malls are imitating. If you've been to a mall in the past 5 years in LA or shopping centers in New York or whatever, they're trying to copy this small town Americana. There's actually one in LA called Americana, but they're trying to copy that vibe. And Knoxville was that for real. And then some things you see out here are just hilarious, like in Knoxville, Tennessee, right the middle of a red state, the main street is called Gay Street. That was funny. In Charlotte, North Carolina, the NASCAR Hall of Fame is on Martin Luther King Boulevard. I'll let you fill in your own joke on that one. So that's where I've been. That's what I've been doing. And now, back to who's paying attention. What's going on out there? You guys know. You don't actually need me. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is done. They say she's done. She's supposed to be leaving the White House at the end of the month, but that might be another lie. Who knows? Her entire career has been lying and covering up for Trump's lies, so this might be another lie. I can't say. No, it seems she's gone. And you know, what bothers me about it is, okay, first of all, we know she's going to cash out, right? She's going to get a multi-million-dollar book deal, and she's going to become a pundit on Fox and so on. But also, I was reading in the New York Times about her, and they talked about her career, and no mention of the lies, no mention of the untruths, no mention of how many times she simply stood up there and said something that we know wasn't true. You know, you look at any fact check website, they have hundreds, if not, well, with Trump it's thousands, with her it's hundreds of times where she just said something that wasn't true. And there's no mention of that. Now she's leaving as a hardworking press secretary and blah, blah, blah. She's a liar. She's a liar. She should be leaving in shame, but of course she won't, because that's not how it works. But she is gone, and they're saying that Trump's going to take it over. That basically he's doing it himself via Twitter, which is great. He's going to keep talking in interviews, like the interview on D-Day where he insulted Nancy Pelosi. The problem with that is the president of the United States or any U.S. politician is not supposed to insult another American politician on foreign soil. It's not supposed to be done. And certainly, D-Day, the celebration of the Americans saving the world democracy, it was D-Day, man. It was, you know, the Americans in France, thousands of them died just fighting hate and oppression and everything that Trump and his followers love. And he chooses that day with that background to call Nancy Pelosi names. This is now, okay, for the millionth time. What if Obama did it? What if Pelosi did any of them? It would be considered high treason. It would be the worst thing that ever happened. But that's it. Trump also said that he would accept intelligence on opponents. He would accept dirt on his political opponents from foreign governments without reporting it to the FBI. Well, guess what? We know that because he already did it, right? That's what the whole Russia thing was about. So we know that. But they came to his defense. I think my favorite defense for this was from Sean Hannity, who said that this is the left trying to set Trump up. Once again, the left is trying to set Trump up because they went ahead and asked him a legitimate question. That was the setup. They asked him a question. They said, would you, Stephanopoulos, who I'm no fan of, Stephanopoulos, a reporter from ABC News, who I'm no fan of because he let George Bush get away with a blatant lie when George Bush denied saying mission accomplished, when we all saw him say it. But anyway, he did an interview with Trump. Trump said he would accept information on foreign entities on his opposition. And Hannity says it's a setup. Yeah, it was a question. Again, this is where we're at. This is what we got. This here in America. And on a side note from our beautiful administration, Trump has banned all travel to Cuba. As you know, cruise ships had started going to Cuba. There were flights to Cuba. Tourism and people, and I'm so sad I didn't get to go. See, don't put it off, people. Don't put it off. I said, yeah, I'm going to go to Cuba. And now, maybe I won't go to Cuba. Maybe I won't be able to go to Cuba. But anyway, I don't even... Well, Trump obviously didn't check with Putin, but he's saying that it gives the communism a foothold. It's who knows what bullshit. This is why he banned it, because Obama okayed it. It's part of this Republican administration's plan to undo any and everything that Barack Obama ever did. So they want to. They have. And it was quick. It's like, you can't go. Like right now, like the cruise lines are like, what are we supposed to do? They had cruises scheduled and people were going, but they banned travel to Cuba. And also, in another petty move, it is Pride Month. It's Gay Pride Month. And traditionally, over the past however many years, the U.S. embassies would display a rainbow flag as, I don't know, a symbol of pride, of support for gay people, the LGBTQ community, etc. And what is, the Trump administration changed the rules, said you have to ask permission to fly the flag. And of course, every embassy that asked permission, they simply said no. So what are the embassies doing? Several American embassies are defying policy and flying the flag anyway. And I absolutely love that. Yeah. Around the world, New Delhi, Seoul, India, Chile, Vienna, they're all flying the flag, the rainbow flag. So good for them. Just so petty. So petty. This is our government. Just okay. Let's look. What else did I notice? There was a list. I like lists. So there was a list of the 35 poorest cities in America, and guess which states most of them are in? Yeah, that would be the red states. Some of the poorest towns in America. There's two things that I noticed in this list of the 35 poorest towns. We had the red states, and then you had, in New Mexico in particular, Native American reservations, cities where the Native Americans were given the worst land in the middle of nowhere that they could never do anything with. So some of the poorest towns in America, ultimate irony, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. That's just hilarious because the right destroyed the unions back under the days of Reagan. Their poverty rate, 29.9%. Dunedin, South Carolina, their poverty rate, 23.2%. Stigler, Oklahoma, just Waycross, Georgia, Camden, Tennessee, some of the other places, Sunland Park, New Mexico, this is what I'm talking about, Nogales, Arizona. These are highly Native American populations, people who just got screwed. Truth of Consequences in New Mexico, made famous in numerous movies. Pagedale, Missouri, Portsmouth, Ohio, Tallulah, Louisiana. Yeah, all of them broke, poor. And God bless the people. Good luck to the people who live there, because I'm not going to say it's not their fault. These, once again, people who vote against their own interests, right? So they're voting Republican, and let me tell you something. None of these rich Republicans are on that list, okay, the ones who got the tax breaks and stuff. And as far as supporting America, making America great again, well, that would be paid for by the libtards. That's right, son of a bitch. California, New York, Northeast, the West. Yeah, that's who's paying for it. Those blue states. Blue states making money. Red states cost money. Said it over and over again. In other news, in Yale, Michigan, and this is where I get into, I don't know, the best, it's our diversity of our nation. The best people and the worst people. The best of humanity and the worst of humanity. So Shelley O'Brien, grandmother of seven, manager of the Yale Hotel in Yale, Michigan, has welcomed any woman who's coming to get an abortion to stay in her hotel for free. If you're coming from one of these draconian southern states, whether it be Alabama or Georgia or now Missouri, which isn't even a southern state, but whatever, she said that women should have autonomy over their own bodies. If we do not have control over our bodies, then this is not a free world. So she's going to provide housing when they come to get, if they have to make it to Michigan for an abortion. She said we'll support you with several nights of lodging, transportation to and from the clinic, several nights of lodging. That is great. The greatness of America. In Alabama, super rich Hugh Culverhouse Jr., who's the school's biggest donor, gave the school $21.5 million. And then he said that they want to, he wants out-of-state students, businesses, et cetera, to boycott the University of Alabama because of Alabama's ridiculous, horrible abortion law. So, and in a surprising move, University of Alabama gave back the $21.5 million and took the, well, not surprising about this, but took the family name off of their law school. The man said that he never asked for his money back and he will not be silenced by their response. So that's good. I hope he gives the $21 million to another school. I hope he gives it to a school in a state where abortion is legal, that supports women's rights. That would be a good thing. So here we have some of America's best. And then we have some of America's worst. This story, unbelievable. So a family in Texas, the Cavorte, or maybe Cavator, not sure how to pronounce it. They had two twins, Thomas and James. James was very sick. James had to have all kind of infant care. He was in intensive care, et cetera, then hospice, and ultimately at 7 months old, James died. And at that, can you imagine, you have twins and one of them dies. What's your reward? Medical bills. Literally millions of dollars, and his family had insurance, millions of dollars in medical bills since the baby died in hospice. One bill for $1.1 million. Now, they'd already spent $38,000 out of pocket. The baby dies, then the bills start coming. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Father says they don't even know what the bills are for. Said they $387,270.69 for doctor bills. Just that they're getting collection calls. Really? This is who we are? This is who we are. The insurance companies say, no, we don't pay for the doctor, we pay for the hospital and blah, blah. I don't know. And you think, here's the thing. You think that's bad? Not even close. Not even close. Another man, Everett Palmer Jr., calls his brother Dwayne, tell him he's on his way. He's driving from Delaware to New York to visit his brother and his sick mother. But first, he wanted to resolve an outstanding DUI warrant in Pennsylvania to make sure his license is valid. Okay, so you're going to drive from Delaware to New York. You got to go by Pennsylvania. He says, I'm going to go. I have an outstanding warrant. I'm going to go see what's up. He died. He's gone. He's dead. 2 days after he called him to say he's on his way, man was dead. Now, it's 14 months later. This happened 14 months ago. Parents still don't know what happened. The body is missing organs. The body was given back to the family, missing organs. Did I mention he was a black man? Are you surprised he was a black man, that he went to clean up a warrant and mysteriously died, and he comes back missing his brain and his throat? The police saying, well, we gave the brain to the lab. We don't know what happened. And they're trying to claim that he, you know, there's no word on how he died. They're trying to claim that he died because he was on meth and he was slamming his head against the bars. The parents say, yeah, at some point in his life, he had used drugs, but, you know, he wasn't a meth head. And if you see the guy, if you see the picture of the guy looks big as me. That's 41 years old, a veteran. He obviously took care of himself. He certainly didn't look like a meth head. And even if he was a meth head, do you just go to check on a case and then you just pop up dead and your body's returned with missing organs? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I mean, how does that feel? Well, you think that's bad? It is bad. Can we do worse? Absolutely. Let's go to Louisiana. Shedrick Jones, a deputy in the Iberville Parish Sheriff's Office. Now that's in Louisiana. I know you're surprised. He's been arrested and terminated from his post. What did he do? He forced a woman to perform oral sex on her one-year-old son and took a video of it. What is that? The woman, he threatened to put her in jail, said, you'll go to jail, they'll take away your son, blah, blah, blah. And he forced her to perform oral sex on her one-year-old kid, and he took a video of it. He gets off on this. So, thank God he was arrested and terminated, not put on a paid leave. I'm not even going to talk about how long he's been a sheriff or whatever. When did he stop being a human? Because this is not human behavior. This is, you know, I keep saying I'm going to go positive, and I keep going negative. Negative. I try. So let's move on. We've seen how bad humanity can be. How about how just stupid? Let's just go, yeah. Because stupid is fun. Dangerous. But fun. California, my state, where I live. We usually do pretty good. We have pretty strict gun laws. I don't know that they work. We've had mass shootings just like anywhere else. But they have a new law. There is a law that starts on July 1st that in order to buy ammunition, you're going to have to show your ID. And that's what the law says. You want to buy ammunition, you show your ID. The store does an instant background check. That's all. And not the end of liberty, not the end of life as we know it, not the end of America. But apparently it is. People are buying thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition, stocking up before July 1st. They're being hyped by the fear of from the gun stores and from the ammunition manufacturers. And they're buying this ammunition. There is a woman, Kim Rhodes, an Olympic gold medalist. She's from El Monte. She said she uses thousands of rounds a week to keep up her skill with daily practice. And she's an Olympic gold medal shooter. She's a target shooter. And she says that these regulations will essentially prevent me from being able to stay qualified and hurt my skill. Well, no, they won't. Just show your license when you buy the bullets. I'm sure if we do some digging, she's getting some money from the NRA, who is all over this, by the way. The NRA took time out from their shopping spree in Beverly Hills. Yeah, Wayne LaPierre spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on clothes in Beverly Hills. And you've heard all this about the NRA paying their board millions of dollars. But they took time out to go after California for asking for ID to buy bullets. Now, we asked for ID to buy cigarettes. We asked for ID to buy beer. And somehow that hasn't brought down our nation, but they're closing some loopholes. You won't be able to buy ammunition online. You won't be able to order ammunition online. I didn't know you could order ammunition online, but they're starting to, and you're going to have to show your license. And they're going to have a database. And if the people in this database are people who have had mental illness, you know, severe mental illness, which is the cause, by the way, of every white mass shooter. Now keep in mind, if you're a Muslim mass shooter, you are a terrorist, you hate America, you hate Jesus, etc. But if you're a white mass shooter, you're acting alone and you suffer from mental illness, which is a problem. So they have a law saying that, hey, we're going to check before you buy 1,000 rounds of ammunition, we're going to check if you've ever been, you know, put away for mental illness. No, that is against our freedom. And we won't be able to go to the Olympics. Some bitch. And we got to pay a dollar fee for the background check, which obviously is an unlawful tax against me. In what the actual fuck? What the actual fuck? So now you can't walk in the store and buy thousands of rounds of ammunition with no identification. Oh, by the way, they're also... another development in the gun world. You know, the magazines, the magazine, for those who don't know, that's what you put the bullets in to put in a gun. They have these high capacity magazines. The capacity in the past, high capacity was 30 bullets. To have 30 bullets in a gun, usually enough. No, apparently not, because now they have magazines with 40 or even 60. And in the past, these even larger magazines, they would have problems with them. They would jam. Well, fortunately, technology has fixed that. You know who uses high-capacity magazines? You know who buys thousands of rounds of ammunition? Mass shooters. Yeah, that's what they use in the Parkland shooting, in the Las Vegas shooting, etc. They had big magazines so they don't have to reload, so that they can keep shooting. But this somehow shuts down on their freedom to be Americans. Yeah, we're that dumb. We are, as a society, that dumb. Sean Hannity, Pelosi and Trump, as you know, have this feud going, and Pelosi has become a master of shade. Now, she's not a master of impeachment, which it's time. I said before I was on the fence. I think it's time just to start the investigation, just to because only Congress has certain powers over the president. And obviously, it's time. But anyway, she said something about, you know, impeach him. They should lock him up. Supposedly she said this in a caucus. It was okay. Sean Hannity said that it is despicable to call for political opponents to be locked up. It is despicable, un-American, to call for political opponent. Wait a minute. Wasn't there a chant of lock her up about Hillary Clinton through Trump's entire campaign? I'm sure that was different. I'm sure if I could stomach watching Fox News, I would hear the lies to explain why that was different. Or they would just deny it ever happened. Those denials, you know who used to be good at those denials? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But she's quitting after her, quote, service. So there's that. Finally, I want to talk about something. This is serious. I love it. It is tough to watch. It is called When They See Us. It's the story of the Central Park Five. It's on Netflix, directed by Ava DuVernay, who should get every award, accolade, whatever. The actors in this, the story, powerful, sad, anger, so many emotions in this. It's four episodes. You remember the Central Park Five. These kids were so-called wilding through Central Park. A woman was raped and almost killed. They blamed the Five. They said they were animals. Trump put ads in the New York paper saying that they should bring back the death penalty. They were innocent, completely innocent. Not only that, they were kids. When I say they were kids, they were 14, 15, and 16 years old. Now, think back to when you were 14 and imagine being locked in a police station for 12 to 18 hours and being questioned without your parents, being told this is the story you have to tell if you want to go home, being told that your friends said you did it, and, you know, of course, each one is kept separately, and each one is told a lie that their other friend, yeah, total manipulation by the police. Who knew they didn't do it? Who knew they didn't do it? Because there was the DNA evidence was that none of these kids' DNA was there. There were drag marks. The woman's body was dragged from one place to another, but they weren't four or five or more sets of footprints, just one. They know they didn't do it. These kids went to jail for 8 to 12 years, and this film covers all of that, what they went through, the separation from their families, what being accused of this, being prosecuted of this, being found guilty, what it did to their families, what it did to them, the time in jail, what happened to them in jail. And, man, I'll tell you this. I know mothers who can't watch this. I have a friend who has a 7-year-old black son. She said, I might watch it when he's 30. I can't even imagine how scary this must be to a mother of a black child, because the Central Park Five, they were finally exonerated, but there were hundreds, if not thousands, in jail the same way, where a prosecutor decided they did it, told the police to make sure that the evidence, not even the evidence, because there was no evidence, to make sure that they basically scared these kids into confessing. Elizabeth Lederer, the garbage prosecutor, has resigned. She had a job at Columbia Law School. Since this come out, she's had to resign. Linda Fairstein, the fucking bullshit cop who led sex crimes, who insisted these were the kids who did it, even though they know they didn't do it. She's lost her book deal. She's published some books. That's their penalty. They should be in jail. They should be in prison for what they did. When They See Us, it is incredible. It is powerful. It is hard to watch. It's hard to watch. She did, Ava DuVernay, the actors, they did too good a job. They made it too real. So I highly recommend you see that. As I said, I'm going back to the stand-up stage. But what a transition, right? Sorry about that, but that's all I got. I'm going back to Cleveland, club called Hilarities. I'm going to be there next week from June 20th to the 23rd. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And this is it. This is Alonzo. The new podcast. I should probably mention that the new podcast, Fear Not, that I've been doing with Barry Glassner, it's up. Look for it wherever you listen to podcasts. It's called Fear Not. And we talk about things that people fear that they shouldn't, things they don't fear that they should. And we talk about Florida because it's just crazy. And it can, you know, check out the podcast. It's actually fun. We talk some about the anti-vax movement in one of the podcasts. And we, you know, it's about people dying in national parks. Yet you don't have to be afraid of the Grand Canyon. It's not going to kill you. It's a lot of fun. So I'm on that. So look for Fear Not, the new podcast. It's up. I thank you. Who's paying attention? As always, you are. We can stop paying attention to Sarah Huckabee Sanders because the professional liar is through with her professional lies. Goodbye.